Coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn, it's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark and Sarah. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
Today's show is powered by Dubloy Electric, building lasting relationships since 1967. From homes to businesses, their licensed, fully trained technicians handle it all. Repairs, upgrades, standby generators, EV chargers, heat pumps, and more. No job is too big and no job is too small. Learn more at DubloyElectric.com. Also brought to you by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squash it. At 4 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at RupersBeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupers.
Rumor has it, Sarah, that we will be joined by a couple of Maine Nordiques coming up here in just a bit.
Yeah, maybe.
They're not here yet.
Okay.
However, the weather was frightful.
It was.
So we hope the Nords can join us this morning. And if not, you know, so be it.
So be it.
I guess that's what's
I mean, sometimes they drive from far away, so it could just be the traffic was...
That is true. And the roads are sketchy.
I think we're receiving a knock upon our door.
All righty. Let's see who it is. Oh, how exciting.
Hi.
It's like we're in a sitcom. How you doing?
I pulled up.
We should close the door more often. It's exciting when someone knocks.
It is.
And we get visitors. So we are joined in studio by Dylan Farrell-Rennie of the NA3 Nordiques and our Maine Nordiques. And you do a lot of stuff for both teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to get to the bottom of that. You're a hockey guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That should just be his title, hockey guy.
Hockey guy.
Utility. Hockey guy.
Right.
Utility player.
That's right, he does it all.
He's no grocery stick.
That's right. Doesn't have time.
I might be, actually. I'm washed up.
You don't have time to sit around. Too much going on.
Totally.
So we're going to talk to Dylan all about that and a whole lot more coming up here in just a bit. But before we get there, let's take a look at some headlines for Wednesday, December 3rd.
The Trump administration will begin withholding federal funds for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program from several states, including Maine, unless they provide data on SNAP participants, including names and immigration status. A spokesperson for Governor Mills said, quote, "The governor and attorney general will stand in the way of this cruel and callous attempt to cause Maine people to go hungry." Over 150,000 Mainers receive SNAP benefits.
The Auburn School Committee unanimously passed an updated cell phone policy. The bell-to-bell restriction states that phones must be put away for the entire duration of each class period. Students may use their phones between classes and during lunch. Officials say the policy is helping students focus during the school day.
The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services released over $39 million for Maine's low-income home energy assistance program. More than 38,000 households received some form of heating assistance last winter. Maine Housing will begin processing payments early next week. Residents can apply for assistance at mainehousing.org.
And the Maine State Fire Marshal's Office reports an increase in house fires linked to heating sources. Deputy Chief Joel Davis offered tips on how these fires can be prevented. They include keeping heaters away from combustibles, plugging electric heaters directly into a wall outlet and not using extension cords, and if you use a wood stove, wood furnace, or fireplace, have your chimney cleaned regularly. Now it's time for the weather.
Weather? Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love. A mixture of sun and clouds today. We'll have a high of 34 with a low of 23. Cloudy throughout the day tomorrow. High of 34 and a low of 4.
Yeah.
Four.
That's not a typo.
That is not a typo.
We're getting into the single digits in autumn.
Diggity digits in autumn. Partly sunny on Friday with highs in the low 20s.
In sports, the Bruins lost to the Detroit Red Wings 5-4. Boston will host the St. Louis Blues tomorrow night as they welcome former head coach Jim Montgomery.
Ooh, that's right. Yeah. Jaylen Brown's game-high 42 points led the Celtics over the New York Knicks, 123-117. The Celtics visit the Washington Wizards tomorrow at 7 p.m.
The NA3 Nordiques host the New Hampshire Junior Mountain Kings today at noon in Auburn. You going to be there, Dylan?
Of course.
All right.
Yeah.
You're a fixture over there now, right?
Just live at the rink.
Yeah, I got a nice little office. So I brought my own little space heater, and when my girlfriend gets mad at me, I bring my little blow-up mattress there.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Get a little zero-gravity chair in there. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
All right. You hang out with Cass over there?
Cass. Yeah, Cass is a beauty. Yeah.
Spends a lot of time there, too, I guess.
Yeah, him and I are there more than anybody else, for sure. So.
In women's basketball, Elsa Delario and Sophie Spolter combined for 42 points to lead Bates College over Colby 61-50. The Bobcats improved to 6-0 and will face the Bowdoin Polar Bears tomorrow night at Alumni Gymnasium in Lewiston.
That gym is going to be rocking.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a great week for women's basketball fans, too, because you have Bates and Bowdoin tomorrow.
That's a nice matchup, yep.
Tonight, you have Central Maine Community College taking on Southern Maine Community College.
Ooh.
And that is a doubleheader. The women tip off at 6 and the men at 8 tonight at Kirk Hall Gym in Auburn.
Nice. And the Maine Nordiques will visit the Johnstown Tomahawks on Friday and Saturday.
And the Lewiston Maniacs host the Northern Maine Pioneers this weekend. That's your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment that is
sweeping
the Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for December the 3rd, shall we?
Yeah, why not?
All right. We're going to start off with singer Montel Jordan, who is 57 years old today, and he is known for what song, Sarah?
This is how we do it.
That's the one.
Is that the one?
All right. Happy birthday, Montel. Love this talk show. Actor Brendan Fraser, 57 years old today.
I love him.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of good movies. He was George of the Jungle in 1997. Not that that was a good movie, but he was in it.
No, it was not.
He was also in Bedazzled.
Yeah.
With Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And he was in a Looney Tunes movie, I remember, because I watched it about 8,000 times with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I think most recently, he gained critical acclaim for his performance in The Whale.
He did,
That came out like 3 years ago.
Yeah. I loved him in the Mummy series.
Yeah, that too. How did I forget that?
I don't know, but that was my, like, that's still kind of my go-to napping movie.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Where I like will put it on and like immediately feel so at ease and fall asleep. I don't
Isn't it like an action movie?
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Yep.
Does that make any sense to you?
Something about
I mean,
I don't
fall asleep to the first 48. So call.
Oh,
it.
Okay.
He's sleeping to Forensic Files.
That's right. Yep. All right. Yeah. Brendan won an Academy Award for Best Actor for The Whale, making him the first Canadian actor to win it.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Julianne Moore, 65 years old today. She has been in just about everything. The Big Lebowski in 98.
Great movie.
Magnolia in 99. She played Clarice Starling in Hannibal in 2001. Mm-hmm. She was in Children of Men and Boogie Nights and the Hunger Games film series.
She's been in a lot of good movies.
She's been in a lot of great. Yeah, absolutely.
Blockbusters.
Blockbusters. Mm-hmm. And rounding out FPBs for December the 3rd is Daryl Hannah, who is 65 years old today. Mm-hmm. I remember her from Splash.
Yes.
Remember that movie with Tom Hanks and John Candy in 1984?
That was probably the first movie that I ever saw her in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my favorite is Steel Magnolias.
Steel Magnolias, yep. How about Roxanne with Steve Martin?
Oh, that was good.
It was really well done.
I did like that one. I guess she was also in Kill Bill, right?
Oh, she sure
did she have
was.
An eye patch?
Oh,
in that?
She sure did.
Yeah.
She was fantastic in Kill Bill.
All right.
You a fan of that? Those movies?
Is that the one that got her eye poked out?
Yeah.
Oh, that I used to have terrors of that from that one scene. My mother never let me watch it again.
Oh, it was
like because it showed the eye.
It sure did. Like, yeah, it was on the bathroom floor.
Yeah, I was like, yo, what? So that's actually possible without dying?
Yeah. So she had one eye pulled out by the master, the Kung Fu master, who I cannot remember his name for whatever reason. And her other eye was pulled out by the bride, Uma Thurman, in their epic fight.
Okay.
It was pretty cool.
Both eyeballs, huh?
Both eyeballs plucked out.
Gross.
Yeah, that'll ruin your whole day.
Absolutely.
Those are your FPBs for December the 3rd. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
What happened on this day?
Wait, Dylan, I don't think we had this segment last time you were in, did we?
No.
Okay.
No.
What do you think of our jingle?
I love it.
Okay, good.
I like her singing a little better. I don't know if that's you or not, but it's just because she has the ukulele playing.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah. Adds a nice little mellow to it at the end.
All right. I appreciate your honesty.
But if you add a little bit more music to it, I think you'd be a rock star.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe you should play a little like guitar riff in there of your own.
I mean, there is
like a little Wayne's World. Like
yes!
World party time. Excellent. See, you should hire me.
It's a great idea.
He's in charge of all of our jingles.
He's a visionary. Look at this guy.
Well, let's see. 26 years ago on this day in 1999, the amazing Madeleine Kahn died of ovarian cancer at the age of only 57. You recognize her if you saw her. She's in a lot of Mel Brooks movies, including Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein.
Yes, which we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, we lost another one of the great actors from that movie the same week.
Yes, Marty Feldman.
Marty Feldman, thank you.
And Madeleine was also in Mel Brooks's History of the World.
Oh, gosh, she was so good.
So good.
31 years ago in 1994, Adam Sandler sang the Hanukkah song for the first time during SNL's Weekend Update. I love the Hanukkah song. Do you know the Hanukkah song?
Yeah. Actually, one of my favorite movies of all time is Adam Sandler's Eight Crazy Nights.
Oh!
The animated movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that... He's great.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful human being.
Yep. Yep.
I agree.
He's a treasure.
Yeah.
As
from
we say here.
Manchester, New Hampshire.
That's right.
By the way.
Yeah. 41 years ago in 1984, Wham! Released Last Christmas. Do you participate in Whamageddon?
Whamageddon? What's that?
That is when you hear, so beginning on December 1st, you have like a group of people and whoever can get to the farthest date of December without hearing Wham's version of Last Christmas wins a prize.
I did not know that.
So if you hear it in like a store or on the radio or in your Spotify list, then you're out.
I'll win because I don't have Spotify. I don't go anywhere. I hang out with my dog and I sit in my office all day.
So you would win Whamageddon.
I would clear house.
Yeah, yeah. You just got to get a group of people together and then put a pool together of money.
Three.
Yeah. Yeah, I've already heard it, so I'm out. Sorry, guys.
Wham.
Sarah's disqualified.
I'm out, yeah.
She's been whammed.
I've been whammed. Yeah, sorry.
That's good.
50. Here's another heart transplant one. 58 years ago in 1967, a guy in South Africa received the first human heart transplant. He survived for 18 days before he died from pneumonia. I believe yesterday we had the first artificial heart transplant in 1984.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he lived for over 100 days, right?
Yes, with an artificial heart pumping. And then 59 years ago in 1966, Lou Alcindor played his first college basketball game for UCLA. He scored 56 points.
That's all right. It's a good debut.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Rookie stats.
Yeah. Beginner's luck.
Will it surprise you to know that Lou Alcindor later changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Oh!
Yeah, he converted to Islam, changed his name, and became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I remember him from Airplane.
Yeah!
I think he played basketball, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a...
I think he dabbled in basketball, but I remember his acting.
Yeah, he was pretty funny in that. Aren't you Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
And then they pull him out of the seat, and he's wearing his Lakers uniform.
Yes, yes.
And his sneakers. That was so good.
So good.
Those are your FPBs and OTDs for December the 3rd.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Hi, it's Donna Harris from Phoenix No Limits Karate here with your daily safety tip. Never walk directly to your car in a parking lot and don't unlock it until you get near it. Let's all do our best to keep our community safe.
And now we shift focus fully to our guest in studio, Dylan Farrell Rennie, who works for the NA3 Nordiques and he works for the Maine Nordiques. So let's get the lowdown, Dylan. What do you do for each team? What's happening?
Last year when I was on the show, I was the when we had the academies, I was the director of player personnel. Mm-hmm. U18's associate head coach and U16 head coach And when there was a little bit of a divide here, and obviously the Lewistonmaniacs coming in, which I think, you know, is great for the you know, the city of Lewiston, Auburn, you know, the Twin Cities. I think it's great to have two high-level hockey teams here. I decided to stay with Nick Skerlick. He's one of my best friends. You know, went over to Auburn and took on the GM and head coaching role for the NA3 team along with anything that the NA team needed. So, you know, just kind of being the utility guy there with Nick, you know, handing out gear, running practices, getting on buses to go coach games, washing jerseys, whatever needed to be done. It's just us two for the longest time. So
now you've got Cass.
Cass, yeah.
Taking
Cass.
Some of the pressure off you a little bit.
Cass is amazing. No, seriously, he is. He came right in. We hit it off. He's a great friend, you know. Great guy to work with. You know, he's younger, so it's easy to get along with him. Nick's the youngest coach in the North American League.
Yep.
So we have a really young staff. I'm 29 years old. Cass is 23. It's just the work ethic he has kind of matches Nick and I's. We work hard, and he came right in and jumped right on board, and it was great. So,
and by work ethic, you mean he sleeps at the arena more nights than he sleeps home, probably?
I wouldn't say sleep. I think he's sleep deprived.
Okay.
I think all three of us are at this point, but it's for a greater good. So really, you know, really love to have him here. You know, we had a couple other great helps throughout the way. Dan Bogdan, who's really good friend of ours. Boggs is a beauty. You know, he was here to help us out for a little bit in the beginning of the season. He runs a top U18 split team in the country, so he's constantly going to nationals and stuff like that, which is good. Wow. So
nice to have his help.
Yeah. So and when we go on the road, sometimes if you know one of us can't make it, Nick has a lot of friends out there. So he brought a guy on last week in Cap who did real well, got his first NA win as a assistant coach, and you know we had a really good week.
Great.
With him there, and so you know Kaz will come back here soon. He had to go home and deal with some stuff, but you know, he'll be back home, back here shortly to help us back out. So
yeah, we had him on the show last week. We had
he was great.
Skirls and Cass, yep. And yeah, they were.
They're a funny pair.
They are. They are.
Don't put us three together. It's not. It's. I don't even know what the word is. It's good though. It's a good time.
Yeah. So you're a GM and head coach for the NA3 team.
Yes. With the amount of workload that's coming with the NA, because obviously there are rules with the NAHL. You have to have a full-time equipment manager.
Gotcha.
Or there's fines within the league, I believe. But also just because the caliber and the level of play, you know, those kids are D1 athletes, right? It's a great team. Polls came out yesterday, 6th in the country.
Yes.
Wow.
Skirls is actually one win away from hitting 100. He'll be the youngest coach in North American League history to hit 100 wins as a coach.
Wow, that's great. Wow.
Yeah, he doesn't talk about his feats, but I sure will for him.
Yeah.
He's a great coach, but, you know, he needs some help out there. So, you know, we have a few. I had gotten a couple assistant coaches for the NA3 that have kind of taken over. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great group of kids in the NA3 level.
Yep.
Just, you know, we have to make sure that the whole operation is running smooth. To get us through this year. You know, the first year is always the hardest when you switch up and have to move to a new arena. The arena's been great. It's where I played college hockey. Very good friends with a few of the people there. So it's made an easier transition. But right now I'm more focused on the North American League team.
So you are their equipment manager?
Yeah, per se. I mean, I've taken on kind of the interim role for that. Just kind of, you know, whatever Nick needs, I go out and help him in practice. We'll, you know, I'll help him run drills if Cass isn't here. We had a couple other equipment managers here this year that didn't know how to sharpen skates. I know how to sharpen skates. I worked at a rink when I was coaching U18s. It was part of the job description. Yeah. Was working 3 nights a week at the rink. I ended up taking on as a full-time job just because I love being at the rink. Mm-hmm. For right now, yeah, I'm pretty much taking on that head role there just to make sure that, you know, Nick and the kids have everything they need. Those kids put everything into this. You know, they rely on us, and they're a great group of kids. I mean, they really are. This last year was a really great group. I love all those kids. Ocean Fancy, you know, Kellen Murphy, Carter Richardson, Laurent Trepanier. I miss all those guys. But this year, this group is something special. The kids in that locker room, it's a completely different buy-in. just the atmosphere of that room, every kid wants to go out and compete for the Robbie. Not saying that last year's group didn't, but I think this year's group is a lot tighter.
What do you attribute that to?
I think, honestly, a lot of it has to do with the culture that Nick Skerlick implements. That I, as a young coach, you know, this is only my second year coaching. As a young coach, aspire to kind of be like him in a way. I mean, we were actually talking about this last night. And, you know, there's so much to learn and so much to, in my young career, I see how far away I am from where he's at. And he had, you know, he had some really good opportunities early on in his, you know, career at, you know, the age of 23, 24, 25, where I kind of started a little bit later, but seeing kind of where he's at as the winningest coach in Nordiques history and, you know, about to hit that century win. You know, it's amazing to see his development where he started as a director, you know, of the academies. You know, he had a fifth place team in the country. They beat Shattuck St. Mary's, which is the cream of the crop. They produce NHL players, Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon.
They're all right.
Yeah, they're okay.
Just okay.
You know,
right?
So he beat teams like that, North Star Christian, Mount St. Charles, Mid-Fairfield. Every day that I'm with him at the rink, it's kind of, you know, absorbing what he's saying, being that sponge. There's a lot of exciting things coming in the future that I'll be, you know, a big part of, and I'm excited for that to be right next to him.
Yeah. It is a unique position that he is in, being the youngest coach in the North American Hockey League, but also serving as a mentor to people like you and Cass.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a mentor, more of an older brother figure who beats me up every now and again when it's needed. But no. He's a great friend. It's easier when you enjoy the people you work with to absorb and grow in the passion that you have for the game. I mean, I will say, you know, with the things that we had to deal with this year, if you didn't love, you know, the kids that you worked for and the people you worked with, you know, it would have been a whole different story for me, at least.
Mm. Yeah.
Makes it a lot easier to show up to the rink every day. And him and I, you know, we run a summer league, US Express. We're in full boat on that right now. So we got World Select invites. We're getting, you know, top kids in the country right now, 2011s, 10s and 9 birth years to join our summer team to go, you know, fight for a championship in Philadelphia in May.
Yeah.
But we're also, you know, have that eyes on the prize of the Robertson Cup.
Sure. So. I'm curious what the offseason was like for you, because our first interview with Skerlick, he was telling Sarah and I that, you know, he was in a tank top and shorts just pacing around the living room back and forth. You know, just really not
in a great place.
Yeah, not in a great place, not really knowing what to expect. And when you're in that position where your job is to build a team, build a winner, recruit kids, convince kids that this is the place to be, and you're hearing rumors that the team's not going to be here, I mean, what do you do?
I mean, Nick and I knew. I'm sure you saw everything on social media. That's why you never saw Nick and I's name pop up in the social media drama.
Mm-hmm.
I stay off of that stuff. It's not professional. It will always come back to bite you. We knew we were going to have a team. I trusted in our ownership. They got the job done. Mm-hmm. The hardest part, you know, I would say my specialty is recruiting teams. You know, I filled the 18s team in 3 weeks when I got hired here, was working on the 16s. Unfortunately, you know, obviously that fell short. When Nick was pacing in tank tops and shorts, I was in a no shirt and shorts, sweating, trying to figure out how I can keep this guy from having a heart attack. I don't think there's not really an off season when it comes to our jobs. We were together every day in the summer. Like I said, running US Express. We had a bunch of showcases, which is usually our tryout. All of our NA kids attended at least one of our, you know, events, which is Chowder Cup, pre-draft, or main camp. We had some kids that attended all four, which was WSI, Chowder Cup, pre-draft, and main camp. Which you got to give a lot of props to those kids, because those are really grueling, you know, tournaments and stuff. I will take a little bit of credit. I won the pre-draft for Nick. Me and Lenny Caglione, the head coach and GM of the Danbury Hat-Tricks in the North American League. We had a pretty sweet tandem there. We won the pre-draft for the Elite Division. We had a lot of really good players. A couple of those kids actually ended up making our team. Josh Eitri was one of them. Mm-hmm. Dylan Chabrier played on our Chowder Cup team. Excellent kid.
Yep.
You know, so we had a bunch of those kids that came in, and Henry Butte, you know, showed up. And we had some kids that, you know, were free agents that just, I don't know where Nick finds these kids, but he gets them. You know, Aslan.
Found one of them at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, he just draws them in, right?
Aslan's.
You look like you play hockey. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a gift of that. But Aslan Zubekasov from, you know, or I don't even know how to say Aslan's name, last name, which is terrible. But playing in the KHL, you know, we did have Arthur Gross. You know, unfortunate events happened there. He's playing in the BCHL. But, you know, Austin Borgard, Marshall McCharles, who's in the OHL. I mean, I don't know where this guy finds these kids. Lucas Furston, you know, like 12, 13 wins with five shutouts is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So from top to bottom, returners like Cole Esty, you know, Ryan Santiago, you know, Aiden Farrow, I can't even forget Damon Myers, the captain. I mean, that kid is unreal. The kid's just unbelievable. His work ethic and his preparation is unreal. So I don't know where Nick finds these kids, but he makes it work. And I like to call, you know, the NA3 team a team of misfits. It truly, the NA team is a team of misfits. It brings me back to the first year of the Golden Knights, when there's just a bunch of guys that weren't wanted on a team. Not to say these kids weren't wanted on a team, but you looked at him in the first practice, like, how is this going to work? And you just knew he was going to make some type of masterpiece out of it, and he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and credit to him for that. I mean, it's pretty hard. This league is hard. I've seen it firsthand. I see what it does to you mentally and physically as a player. I see what it does to you mentally and physically and emotionally as a coach. And credit to him for, you know, constantly being one of the best in the country. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what draws kids here. It truly is one big family. I mean, from a guy that I feel, you know, low on the totem pole here in the North American League, you know, the appreciation they give me just for, you know, showing up and helping out makes it worthwhile every day. The culture of that room is because of Nick Skerlick, but more or less it's because of the tightness of the room from leaders like Ryan Santiago, our captain, Damo Myers, you know, Cole Esty being in there, and new guys coming in like Rylan Oster, who was a huge pickup for us, to our 07 goaltender, Matthew Wood. I mean, they just all gel. And it's so rewarding to see because, you know, Nick's not an easy coach to play for. He's not an easy coach to work for. He, like I said, he's one of my best friends, but he's not an easy guy to be around sometimes. Mm-hmm. But he gets the job done. Mm-hmm. And that's why this team is so bought in, is because they believe in what he's putting down because he has the track record. Mm-hmm. To do that. I don't think, in my honest opinion, I don't think there's any other coach in this league that would be as successful in this organization with the style of players that we have in the East Division. I don't, without Nick Skerlick, the Maine Nordiques would be at the bottom of the league, in my opinion, truthfully, just because the East Division is the toughest division to play in. Yep. It truly is.
Yeah, there's it's a log jam at the top of the war.
I remember saying to Nick, I'm like, Nick, this is playoff hockey in November. And he's like, yep, welcome to the North American League. And I'm like, well, I've been around it for a year with you, man. And he's like, Mike, what's the difference? He's like, it's just the kids are so bought in. Like, it's there isn't one overpowering player. It's about 9 to 12 of them that just constantly contribute. And then you got your role players that just go out there and shut guys down, log up the lanes, you know, do the right thing, clearing the house. It's really rewarding to see that you can take a bunch of, like I said, misfit kids and and make a masterpiece, you know, kind of a Picasso out of it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, credit to him. I'm happy to be a small part of it. You know, it's great to see. So
it's awesome.
I remember last year, Skrulls telling us you had a great team last year.
Yeah, he did.
Had a great team last year. You had a great locker room culture last year. But I remember him telling us they love each other too much.
Yeah.
Last year, he said they don't criticize each other. They lift each other up always. It was kind of the impression that I got. He was like, they need to be harder on each other. They need to push each other harder. And I remember thinking, oh yeah, I guess that's kind of true. Like, you can't just be like, you guys are awesome all the time. Like, you do kind of have to have that, hey, I saw what you did out there. It was great. But also, could you do this next time?
The level of accountability this year is so different from last year. There were guys that would hold each other accountable and the other guys would just kind of roll their eyes. Whereas it didn't matter who you were. You could be Jack Klevby, who's one of the quietest guys in the room, to Dante Rodriguez, who's an 07, to
Gross. Dante's the guy that hates getting dressed.
Let me guess. Put it off.
Joey, Gallo, I call him Waterbug because he's so fast. Anytime anyone in that locker room speaks, no one interrupts. No one says a boo to them. They all just turn, lock eye contact, and listen. And that's the cult. That's a championship culture. You know, you got to credit that to the kids for the buy-in on that. But setting the tone early was Nick Skerlick. I think he wanted that change because there's a lot more, not animosity this year, there's a lot more people holding guys accountable. And I think that is really needed for a championship team. You know, I will say the Maryland Black Bears are a very, very good hockey team this year. They're very good. Probably the best team in the league, to be honest with you. In my opinion, that they are going to be the heart. That it's going to be us and Maryland again in the finals. Yeah.
Well, they are ranked number one, right?
Yeah, they're tough.
I think, Rochester's always been a very good team. They're still a very good team. I just think Maryland is a different beast this year, you know, from watching it firsthand. To catch them in the race, it's gonna be a good task. But I know that this is the group that can do it for sure. Mm-hmm. So from firepower, from top to bottom, we just have guys that want to play college hockey, and they know how hard the landscape is right now to make college hockey with the CHL coming into play. Mm-hmm. And I think that gives us a little bit more of an edge on some of these CHL teams because these kids just have to they can't take a day off. Right. Where some of these kids playing in the OHL, the WHL. Q, you know, even the USHL, I'm not saying they're taking a day off. Obviously, every player in those leagues are fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's hard to play in the North American League. It's even harder to stay. Right. So it's a top five league in the world, junior league in the world, but it's the hardest league to stay in. Yeah. It's grinding. It is brutal. You are beaten and battered. It is not easy. So for kids that are constantly in the lineup, Damon Myers, guys that are, you know, taking, you know, hits constantly. Liam McGurn, who's still dealing with a knee issue, who's still playing every day. Guys like that are just absolute, like, I mean, Joey Gallo was playing with a hole in his elbow. Like, just the right down to the bone, just the buy-in. It takes a special breed of hockey player to play in this league, but it takes a lot of willpower to stay in this league. So. Yeah. You have to give it to the kids more than the coaching staff. No offense, Nick. I know you're probably going to listen to this later. But those kids are, you know, he draws up the systems. Those kids go out and execute it, and they listen. They buy in. Yeah. So, yeah.
I know you guys had your pumpkin carving contest in October.
Yeah.
Are there any other, like, team-building events or exercises that you have, like, during the week?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
The guys are constantly doing stuff. When we're on the road, you know, we went to Elmira. Split those series there, which I will say, people looking at the standings, don't sleep on Elmira. They're a good hockey team. Mm-hmm. They had a little bit of a management issue. They fixed it up. You know, we went in toward Elmira College doing stuff like that. Just going out and going for a walk as a team, not sitting in the hotel rooms and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I know the guys always go out after practice and grab lunch and stuff like that. A lot of guys live together. So there are a lot of team bonding stuff. One thing I loved, because when I was playing, I loved to go out into the community. We had 9 guys go to a school last week, and they were all coming back just boasted about it. I remember Jack Eitree walking in, and he was going, six seven, and just running down the hallway, just being an absolute goofball because he had so much fun with the kids. And those are the type of human beings we want in this organization.
Yeah. Those are the types of human beings we want in this community.
Absolutely. It's just every person, like Cole Esty, like he had so much fun. Like those kids had smiles on their face, and they were the, you know, the celebrities, mm-hmm. but they had, I think, been more honored to go and do that than the kids having them be there. And that's what it's all about. I mean, that's the great sport of hockey, is going out in the community, because everyone looks at hockey players and says, oh, he's just a hockey player. He's he's a bad person, or he's this, or he's that, or, you know, hockey players do have some type of a stigma, but this sport is one of the only sports that truly goes out and does so much community service in all types of levels.
Yeah. Sarah's significant other is an official, and he's done some of your games, and that's what he says about hockey players.
Who's your significant other?
I don't want to say.
Tell me his name.
Tell him saying.
This is Nick's. This is my significant other's name is Nick Gordon. Gordo. Everybody calls him Gordo.
I don't think I've had him at the NA3 level yet, but
no, he does a lot of college games, and he does the
Nall.
The Nall. He says if you want to make an asshole, just add ice.
That is true. But when you take that ice away, they're no longer.
And that's what I tell him all the time.
Yep.
I tell him all the time. I get home from interviewing with Mark here at the studio with the kids, the boys that come in, and I'm like, man, they're just the nicest boys.
I mean, I'll tell you right now.
Love them.
Two of my, you know, not favorites. I don't have favorites. I love every single one of those boys. Hutch Rose.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, he was traded. I texted him right away and, you know, told him how much I care about him. He was the most gentle soul on this earth. But I'll tell you right now, if he grabbed a hold of you,
look out. Yeah.
Better run away.
We heard, we heard a story about Hutch when he left the bench without his stick.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he had a mission.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hutch is a beauty. Brady Frank. Franker's a great kid off the ice.
Big country.
Yeah. That's right. With his boots.
Big country. He walks in with his belt buckle and his jean suit on. And, you know, you got to love the kid. And honestly, like, you know, Henry Butte, man. I mean, he's a misunderstood kid, but he went after the toughest guy in the league and did very well against him.
He's a fighter.
Jackson Schouten. So, Henry Butte's been doing a really great job this year. Power play guy, but he answered the bell to a 6'7" monster, and you know, and took care of him. He that guy didn't know what to do. The point the guy tapped him on the back of the head and said, "Great fight." Like, I mean, the guy's known to be, you know, pound for pound, probably the toughest guy in the league, you know, besides Murray Smith of Northeast Generals. But just to have that edge in your game, you wouldn't know it when he's not dressed.
Yeah.
They're just all great kids, and they're the most gentle human beings in on the earth. And then you put a hockey stick and skates on them, watch out.
Yeah, I think it's easier for me to remember because I have a boy who's 21. Like, he's their age.
Yeah.
So I see the other side at home of my own son, and I'm like, these kids aren't any different from that.
Yeah,
they're
not.
I'm curious if you keep in touch with any of the boys that have moved on to their college level
Trepanier. I text him a lot. We are getting Luke Chappelle back. Very excited about that.
Aww.
He had pretty bad injury. But he'll be coming back. I sent him an Instagram message. Person I probably talk to the most is Kellen Murphy.
Yeah.
I've known Murph since I started as an intern 4 years ago here when Matt Pinchewski was head coach.
Yeah.
It was Laurent Trepanier and Kellen Murphy's first year. Murph and I hit it off really well from the beginning. We stay in touch.
Nice.
He's a good kid. He's at Army West Point right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just keeping in touch with them is nice. You know, I've reached out to Shane Coslina. I've reached out to Carter Richardson. Obviously miss those boys, Matthew Delarusso. They were a good group, but
keep in touch, but happy to see them move.
I'm happy that they're doing what they want to do. You know, I mean, I'm happy for Delly. You know, he's at Northeastern. You know, hockey schools are hard to make. You know, going to Army West Point, not easy at all.
No.
So you got to give it to them for the dedication and the grind that they put in.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not a hovering, you know, I'm a dad. I have a beautiful 3-year-old daughter, you know, so I worry about my own, you know, my own kid, but these kids are still my kids in a sense. You know, I always want what's best for them, but kind of more focused on this year's team because there's something really special going on here.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome. Mm-hmm.
So the Maine Nordiques are on the road this weekend. They're going to visit the Johnstown Tomahawks on Friday and Saturday, and then the stinking Tomahawks are coming to Auburn.
Coming back.
They're coming back for December 12th and 13th at Norway Savings Bank Arena. December 12th is Teddy Bear Toss Night.
Ooh.
Now, you might be thinking, how are we going to toss those teddy bears when there's nothing but glass and netting at Norway Savings Bank Arena? So they're going to open up the Zamboni doors and the door that's across from the visiting locker room.
Yeah.
So they're going to open up those doors after the Nords score their first goal, and then you chuck your teddy bear stuffed animals onto the ice, and they will be donated to those in need. And then the 13th is their Christmas spectacular, where they encourage you to wear an ugly sweater. There's going to be a post-game skate with the team and an autograph session and a whole lot of holiday festivities.
Neat.
So we're looking forward to that. Again, that's December 12th and 13th in Auburn. Mm-hmm. Before we get into our final segment, Dylan, just a few quick hitters. Best player of all time.
Well, obviously Gretzky for his era. For this era, I have to go with Sidney Crosby. I know you're like, why not Alex Ovechkin?
No, that's not me. I'm Bobby Orr all the way.
Yeah. I think Sidney Crosby just because of how many games he's missed compared to other players. He's still above Ovechkin in all-time points. Mm-hmm. His 200 by 85-foot game is insane. Yeah. You know, right there with him is Patrice Bergeron.
All right.
What about McDavid?
If you had to pick one, it was the best player.
I mean, McDavid is so good as well. He's just got so much more time left. Once he gets to Crosby's age, and it'll be amazing to see where he's at, but I think right now, I guess it has to be a two-part answer. 1A is obviously Wayne Gretzky, and 1B is Sidney Crosby.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right.
Can't have just one more.
Nope.
It's unfair.
It's a tough question. I gotcha. Best hockey movie of all time.
Oh, buddy. Oh, it depends on the mood I'm in. If I want to see someone get pumped, I like Youngblood or Slapshot, but I'll probably have to go with Miracle.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. And if you could change one rule about the game, what would it be?
This year they have a new rule in where you flip the puck out of surface play. It's just to the next face-off dot. So a team in the defensive zone can purposely shoot it out of the rink, and it just goes to there instead of all the way down. And that's a little frustrating for every coach and ref. I've heard all refs be like, you know, it's stupid ass too, but we do have to enforce it. But it doesn't necessarily mess up the flow of the game. But I wonder, it makes me wonder because I analyze a lot and I think a lot. I wonder how many goals we would have scored if that puck went all the way down into their zone on a faceoff.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that one kind of frustrates me as a coach and as an honorary EQ, I guess.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
All right, Dylan, our final segment is called Three Random Questions. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're familiar. You've done it before. So we will start with this one. What is the nicest compliment you've ever received?
I'm a great dad. That's from my girlfriend Taylor. Aww. She's awesome. She told me I was a great dad.
That's a good compliment. That means a lot.
Yeah, you know my little girl is everything to me. Yeah. She's why I do what I do and why I work so hard. Mm. You know, for my girlfriend to say that speaks levels of who she is as a human being. She's amazing with my daughter. But to hear that from somebody that is on the outside, not on the outside, but newer to the family, right? Mm-hmm. I think that speaks volumes of who she is and kind of makes me feel good that I'm doing a good job.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It's one of the best compliments ever.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
Either that or my daughter telling me I'm her best friend.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
She'll grab my face and kiss my forehead and say, Dad, you're my best friend. And I'm like, yeah, you're mine.
So sweet. So sweet. Okay, pickles. Do they belong in the sandwich or on the side?
On the side.
Totally.
Makes it soggy.
Wet. I don't like wet food. How do you feel about a tomato on the sandwich then?
I hate tomatoes.
Yes. Thank you.
I hate tomatoes.
I just don't want them on my sandwich.
I love BLTs, but they have to be really thin.
Yes. Yes. Man after my own heart.
Don't tell Gordo that. He might give me an ejection. I'll be the first equipment manager in NA history to get ejected.
I don't like that guy and his tomatoes.
Just from breathing.
Only if he skates by and you try to hand him some glasses.
Yeah.
Maybe he might throw you up.
No, I think he's not that kind of guy. Strangle me if I ever did that.
So. He's not that kind of guy.
All right, Dylan, final question. If you could attend any sporting event in history and have the best seats in the house, what would it be and why?
1980 Olympic game against USSR. No question.
Where would you sit?
Front row, right behind Jimmy Craig.
Oh, love it.
Right behind Craig.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We so appreciate you, and best of luck this weekend in Johnstown, and we will see you next weekend in Auburn.
Yeah, don't be a stranger when you see me in the ring. Say hi now that you recognize me.
Everybody wants Mark to come down and be on the bench.
Well, no, he walks by me all the time. I don't want to be like the first one to be like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? You don't remember me?
No, the thing is, I see so many familiar faces there, but I also appreciate that it's game day.
Yeah.
And you guys are in the zone.
I'm always in the zone, but I'm not like that, like, don't talk to me type thing. I'm always hey, what's going on?
Yeah, after the game, I totally would. But I see Skrlic. Skrlic, like, doesn't even look at me.
The guy's vision is insane. He's like a hawk. He was like, I saw Harper doing this. I was like, dude, your head was turned the other way.
How do you know?
My daughter calls him Uncle Nick.
Yeah.
So
that's why.
Yeah.
I'm not antisocial.
It's
just that I know you guys are in the zone, and I don't want to do anything to disrupt that.
Yeah, no, you're good.
See, right. But now, see, I texted Skrulls. I was like, so we're your good luck charm. And he was like, yes, you are. So I think we have free reign. We can do whatever we want.
Listen, he is very, very, very superstitious.
Okay.
There's a lot of things that he's very superstitious about. Certain ways he, you know, does certain things. So if we're winning, he won't change it. If we're losing, he changes immediately. So
he'll keep us around then for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're safe for now.
Yeah, for now.
Make sure
we go 2-0 when you guys are here.
When we're
back here next weekend.
Thanks to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and DeBlois Electric for sponsoring today's episode. And if you would like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com. Roll Nords.
Have a great day. And remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say, I